Okay, good evening, everybody. Hey, Joel. As the handouts are getting passed out, oh, there's the pencils too. We are going to be starting a new study this evening, and this is actually an abbreviated one. Of course, last week my wife and I weren't here, but Pastor finished up the stewarding life study and lesson that we've been doing, and you know, I think I can honestly say, I can say that for myself, that was definitely a very good, challenging study. And again, as was the point in that lesson, we steward life, or we should, and it all boils down to stewarding life so we can get the gospel. That's kind of what it boils down to, really. But tonight, what we're embarking on is actually, again, it's a short, it's only a six-week study, and it's specifically meant to be done this time of the year, and it's called A Season to Celebrate, Experiencing God's Grace in the Busyness of the Season. And it's meant to be started the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and then it's going to run to the Sunday after Christmas, which will be the sixth lesson in this study. So it's specifically meant for this time of the year. I'm here. So we're going to be, again, starting on lesson number one tonight. Again, obviously, you probably could have figured out maybe what the theme might have been. But lesson number one is a season to give thanks. And Psalm 100 is the text passage, actually, for tonight. The text passage for tonight, Psalm 100, five verses here. It's a psalm of praise. Let's go ahead and pray before we get started. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Thank you for those that are here that took the time to come and gather together in your house. Again, thinking of this new study that we're starting, again, just kind of a season to celebrate, just to experience your grace and just the busyness of this holiday season, as we often call it, with this time of the year. And help us to, again, start with that tonight, of just taking some time to set aside and focus on you. And because there's many reasons for that, as we will see with the study and everything tonight. Please help us, Lord, just to focus on your word as it is opened here, and that your spirit would just be working in our hearts and lives this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 100, I'll go ahead and read it to start us off here. Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know, probably a lot of us have that memorized or know parts of it. But, you know, when you actually sit down and read it and think about what it says, there's a lot in there. And we're going to kind of unpack some of that tonight. Christians are called to be thankful people. When we understand who God is and remember the great things that he's done for us, we'll see that our only reasonable response is to thank him through praise, worship, and service. And some goals with the lesson tonight. This is an interesting one at first. Understand that thanksgiving is not an option, but it's a commandment from God. Number two, that we realize that thanksgiving flows from a heart that understands what God has done for him, beginning with redemption from sin. Then number three, very worthy endeavor, commit to spending more time in worship and praise to God for his goodness for us. So jumping in to the lesson tonight, a season to give thanks. Now, what does the holiday season from Thanksgiving to Christmas to New Year's Day mean to you? Now, for some, it means an extended vacation from work or studies. For others, it means a few good weeks of shopping at department stores. For many, it's a time to celebrate with families and loved ones, to relax, you know, perhaps pause to reflect on another year that's quickly drawing to a close. Now, aside from New Year's Eve, the most common time for that reflection is Thanksgiving, as we gather with friends, you know, around a dinner table and perhaps, you know, tell each other some things that we're most thankful for. While Thanksgiving Day has only officially been a national celebration since President George Washington proclaimed it in 1789, it might surprise you to know that the tradition of setting aside a specific day to give thanks dates back much further. It says in the 16th and 17th centuries, the Puritans observed certain special days during the week for giving thanks for all of God's blessings. But long before that, the Israelites were given guidance for observing feasts of thanksgiving in the Old Testament. And I think that's that first passage there, Leviticus 7, 11 to 15.
And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord.
If he offer it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil, a fine flour dried.
Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings.
And of it he shall offer one of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of peace offerings.
And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning.
Throughout God's word, we see that giving thanks is not an option for those who would follow God, but it's a command. Psalm 92, verse 1.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High.
1 Chronicles 16:34.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth.
Colossians 3:17.
And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
And Hebrews 13:15.
Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
In our increasingly pluralistic society, you know, some Christians are afraid to publicly mention God, you know, let alone thank him for his many blessings in our lives. You know, in truth, however, everything we have comes from him. James 1:17.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
We should thus never be hesitant or reluctant to give God thanks, the thanks that he richly deserves. Philippians 4:6.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
God wants to hear our every request. He wants to know what's on our hearts, but he also wants us to remember that no matter what our requests are, he's been very good to us. For his continual goodness, we ought to always give him our thanks. But why is giving thanks so important? We're going to see three answers to that question in this lesson here. And the first one is giving thanks reflects our, starts with an H for God, heart. Giving thanks reflects our heart for God. The presence of thanksgiving is a reflection of what's going on in your heart. The absence of thanksgiving is also a reflection of your heart. Jesus made that very clear in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke 6:45.
A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh.
Have you ever wondered why some people never have anything but spiteful things to say to others, while some people are always full of encouragement? It's because those things are in their hearts. Rest assured that what's in your heart will find a way to work itself out by what you say and what you do. So a heart of thanks for God has three characteristics. First, subpoint A is a heart of, starts with a J, heart of joy. Now, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 100, 1 through 2, our text verses there, that we're to make a joyful noise and serve the Lord with gladness. The word translating gladness there is the Hebrew word simcha, which means joy or gaiety or pleasure. A heart of joy goes hand in hand with an attitude of thanksgiving. Psalm 95, verse 2.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms.
God wants us to give thanks because when we come before him with song, with an attitude of joy and gratitude, those are reflections of a heart that says, no matter what else is going on in my life, Lord, I'm so grateful for all that you've done for me. Remember that Sunday school song, I got the joy, 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 joy. What are the next words? Down in my heart. What's down in your heart? If it's joy, you won't be able to help but give thanks to God. Subpoint B, we see it's a heart of, starts with an S. Service, yes, a heart of service. The first word of Psalm 102 is serve. An attitude of thanksgiving is inseparable from a heart that knows the value of service to God. When we give thanks and praise, we're offering up a service. We're offering a heart of praise in response to the great love that's been extended to us. Former Denver Broncos quarterback Tim Tebow was used to receiving criticism and being mocked on and off the football field for his Christian beliefs. But when asked in an ESPN interview why he needs to tell others about his love for Jesus, he responded this way. He says, if you're married and you have a wife and you really love your wife, is it good enough to only say to your wife, I love you, the day you get married? Or should you tell her every single day when you wake up and have the opportunity? That's how I feel about my relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing in my life. So every opportunity I have to tell him that I love him, or I'm given an opportunity to shout him on national TV, I'm going to take that opportunity. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 15.
For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we must judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead.
And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
We can't help but talk about and serve who or what that we love. And when we realize the love of Christ toward us, we should be so thankful that it spills out of us in worship, praise, and service to him. Charles Spurgeon said, they are sure to praise God best who serve him best. When we're serving the Lord, we'll praise him even for the privilege of serving. We'll serve him gladly from our hearts. We'll serve him gladly from hearts that realize we've been blessed far above anything we could have ever imagined. And then subpoint C, it's a heart of, also starts with a P, praise, a heart of praise. We have to teach children to say thank you because it's not a response that comes naturally. What's natural is to take without thinking of the one who gave it. But as children get older, we expect them to learn this lesson of showing thanks and gratitude, so much that when teens or even adults neglect to say thank you, we think they're rude. And then this next phrase, next paragraph, can hit us. When we don't feel like serving or giving praise to the Lord, it's a reflection of a heart that needs repentance and an adjustment because it's become too full of self. The attitude of a mature Christian is, Lord, I want to give you my praise because of everything that you've done for me. At the age of 22, Baptist scholar Robert Robinson penned the words to a hymn that demonstrates the connection between thankfulness and praise. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy, never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. We sit down and think about those words. Now, we sing them so often, don't really think about it, but think about what those words are. When we give thanks to God, we reflect a heart for God, a heart of joy, of service, of praise. In fact, the very act of giving thanks builds those qualities in our lives. That brings us to point number two, which is giving thanks respects the, starts with a W, of God. Not will. Not word. Plural, ways. Giving thanks reflects the ways of God. Giving thanks respects the ways of God. The psalmist continues in verse 3 of Psalm 100. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The presence of thanksgiving is an indicator that we know and respect our Lord for who he is. It's the attitude of Christians who daily seek to become less like the selfish world that we live in and embrace our identity as his people every day. We see subpoint A, that he is our, starts with an S. Salvation. That's supplier. Sovereign, yes. He's our sovereign. When we give thanks to God, we're acknowledging that he's sovereign, meaning that he's the supreme ruler of the world. Then 1 Chronicles 29:11-13.
Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all.
Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all.
Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name.
This is going to sound really familiar from this morning here. Some people are polytheists, believing in many gods. But the basis of intelligent worship is acknowledging that all roads do not lead to the same place, because there's only one God. Psalm 100, verse 3.
Know ye that the Lord, he is God.
He is God. And there's only one way to know him, John 14, 6.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Jeremiah 9, 23, 24.
Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, but not the rich man glory in his riches.
But let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
This season, if there's anything to celebrate, it's not ourselves or anything that we think that we've accomplished. It's the knowledge that the Lord is God. That brings a whole new appreciation for thanksgiving in our hearts. It means our thanksgiving is conditioned upon who He is and how we relate to Him. It also means that we can have hearts full of thanksgiving not just one day of the year, but every day. It's easy to be thankful at Thanksgiving dinner or on Christmas morning when we're surrounded by our families and friends. Food's plentiful. Gifts are being exchanged. It's a lot harder to give thanks when January 2nd rolls around and you're out of holiday mode and the challenges of life start to creep in again. To keep a heart of thanksgiving, we must understand that no matter whether times are good or hard, the Lord is God. He's sovereign, constant, and always in control. At subpoint B, we see that He is our, starts with a C. Creator, yes, He is our Creator. Now, next we read, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. When we give thanks to God, we show our respect for our Creator and His plan for our lives. This is also a very interesting statement when you think about it here with the world. It says, people who think they are self-made can never be truly be thankful because they do not know or acknowledge how they came to be. They will never understand that not only did God create us, but that everything we have comes from Him. In response, it's only reasonable that we give Him honor and praise. Now, that's why the hymn writer Thomas Ken can say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God wants us to know where we came from so that we can correctly direct our thanks and praise to Him rather than ourselves. You know, I'm sure there's people out there who have days of thanksgiving of what all I love about me, you know? Ecclesiastes 12:1.
Okay. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them.
When we understand that we didn't make ourselves and that we didn't get where we are on our own, then we can see thanksgiving as for the opportunity it is to truly give thanks to the Lord, our Creator. In subpoint C, we see He is our, starts with an R, Redeemer. He is our Redeemer. God did not just make us and then leave us in the world to do life on our own. The Bible tells us we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. To be called a child of God is no light thing. Some people believe that just because we're born into this world that we're automatically members of the family of God, that we're all God's children. But that's not the case. In fact, when Jesus was speaking to some unbelieving Pharisees and priests, who were the religious leaders of the day, Jesus plainly debunked that philosophy that all people are God's children. John 8:44.
Ye are of your father, the devil. In the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
No one is automatically part of God's family. To be a child of God, there must be a time when you recognize your identity as a sinner in need of a redeemer and receive the gift of God bought by the blood of Jesus through faith. Colossians 1:12-14.
Thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
In Ephesians 2, 8, 9.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Not of works, lest any man should boast.
God went to great lengths to ensure that we would have a way of redemption. So if you want to have the greatest Thanksgiving that you've ever had, begin by making sure you're truly a child of God. Begin by placing your faith in the shed blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know, believing that he's not just some prophet or a teacher like some other religions say. He's God made flesh, and his blood was the price that was paid to cover our sins. Acts 4:12.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
If you've never received Christ and you don't know that you're one of his children, this is a great time to repent of your sin. And it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. Romans 10:9, call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. If the Spirit of God is telling you to turn to Christ and acknowledge him as your Redeemer and your Lord, do it today. How wonderful that not only did God create us, but he also redeemed us from the penalty of sin. And if we cannot give praise and thanks for that, then there really is a problem with our hearts. That brings us to number three. Giving thanks responds to the, starts with an L, of God. Love. Giving thanks responds to the love of God. Finally, when we give thanks to God, we show a proper response to the great love that he's shown to us. The psalmist instructed, again, back in Psalm 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, those verses most likely speak of the people of Israel entering into the gates of Jerusalem with a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving. But the directive can also be applicable to how we enter our local church as well. When we come into the house of God, we should not be so preoccupied with the worries of the day that we barely know where we are. The house of God represents his presence among us. And we ought to enter it with hearts and minds that are prepared to respond to the love of God. There's multiple ways that we respond to the love of God from the heart, and at least two of them are directly related to giving thanks. And then the first one here is subpoint A, with, starts with a W, with worship. Many people think of worship as music, and more specifically know a particular style of worship music. Music is one form of worship, but you know you can worship God without a single musical instrument. You don't need music to get in the mood to say thanks to God. Worship is a state of the heart that gives respect and adoration to God. It's an expression from your heart of the worth of God. I can't remember exactly who said it, but heard it said that worship is giving God what he wants. Think about it in that way. And that can apply across the board to a lot of things. Worship is giving God what he wants. One of the ways that we worship God is by giving thanks to him. In fact, thanks always involves giving. Whether we're giving our praise, our songs, our substance, or in anything else, we are to do it with worship to the Lord. Thanksgiving should be in our hearts, and it should never end, no matter what cares of life we're dealing with. During a harvest festival in India, a poor elderly widow arrived at her church with an extraordinarily large offering of rice, far more than she could be expected to afford. The itinerant pastor of the church, did not know her well, but because he knew that she was poor, he asked if she was giving this offering in gratitude for some unusual blessing. "Yes," replied the woman, "my son was sick, and I promised a large gift to God if he got well." "And your son has recovered?" the pastor asked. "No," said the widow, "he died last week. But I know he's in God's care, and for that I'm especially thankful." Indeed, some of our greatest opportunities to worship the Lord are during difficult times. And that's not easy to say. We see this in the life of Job in the Bible. Even after he lost all his wealth and his 10 children, he responded in worship. Job 1, verse 20 to 21.
"Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped.
And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
No matter our situation, in everything we have something for which we can thank, praise, and worship the Lord. What a tremendous blessing to be able to thank Him for what He's done for us. And then we see subpoint B, with, or for the G, gratitude. It was with worship and then with gratitude. Psalm 100 concludes with the reason that we're to give thanks to God. "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations." We see that God's goodness has made available to us His everlasting mercy and His preserved truth. Further, the Apostle Paul noted that God gives us victory in life. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14.
"Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ."
How could we not be thankful? As Charles Spurgeon observed, when we bless God for mercies, we usually prolong them. When we bless God for miseries, we usually end them. Praise is the honey of life, which a devout heart extracts from every bloom of providence and grace. Think about that. I'll read that again. It says, when we bless God for mercies, we usually prolong them. When we bless God for miseries, we usually end them. Praise is the honey of life, which a devout heart extracts from every bloom of providence and grace. So praise in any situation is kind of what it's talking about there. The heart that blesses God through good times and bad is the heart that understands what it means to be thankful. It's the heart that understands that no matter what happens in our lives, God is good, and He's God, and He will forever deserve our praise. So in conclusion, as it has been said, the art of thanksgiving is thanks living. Giving thanks, not just on Thanksgiving, but every day of the year, reflects a heart for God, acknowledges the goodness of God's ways, and responds to the love of God for His children. If the greatest highlights of your Thanksgiving are turkey and football, you're missing the greatest opportunity of the holiday, giving thanks. Allow this Thanksgiving to be a reset for your heart to approach God with thanks every day of the year. We give God praise and thanks not only for the things that He's blessed us with, life, health, family, friends, but also because He's our Creator and has brought us into His family so that we can be joint heirs, with Christ. If you are a Christian today, no one should have to coax you into finding something to be thankful for. Gratitude should already be in your heart and on your lips. Just as earthly parents delight in hearing their children say thank you, our Heavenly Father delights in us taking time to focus on His love and mercy, and then truly from the heart, thanking Him for who He is and what great things He's done for us. And that concludes the lesson tonight. Again, that kind of just trying to set the stage and the groundwork for this week. So in some questions here to finish, it's an interesting one. First one says, it has been said, the foundation for gratitude is the expectation of nothing. What does that mean to you? The foundation for gratitude is the expectation of nothing. What does that mean to you? Any thoughts?
This is good and great and wonderful, regardless. Expectations, I mean, cause a lot of issues. But if there are expectations from the Lord.
Realizing you don't deserve anything. You're entitled to.
That's a key word, I think, there, but that entitlement.
Yeah, that is really easy to see in everybody else, isn't it? We're really good at spotting that in other people. But, you know, how often, really, if we're honest about ourselves, we're entitled in that, in some things.
That was so many times. It's like, it's kind of a good setup for disappointment if you are expecting something. And I experienced a blessing somebody else did for me the other day, and it was totally unexpected, but it was like, it made my whole day. But there's time to expect something, and then it doesn't happen, and then it's disappointing, and it's so much nicer.
Number two, how do we know that gratitude is not an option for the Christian? List a bunch of verses there. Psalm 92:1. I think these are all actually in the handout there. 1 Corinthians 16:34, Colossians 3:17, Hebrews 13:15. A lot of different things there. If we're to truly, number three, have hearts of thanksgiving, what's one thing that we must recognize about God? Kind of two things that were mentioned there. His sovereignty, because he's our creator. And then the second point that was kind of brought out there was he's our redeemer. To truly have hearts of thanksgiving, we got to recognize that he's our creator and he's a redeemer. Verse number four, how should we enter the house of God? There you go. And I was thinking, with screaming kids, right? How should we enter the house of God? Again, it's the idea of what was brought out. Not being preoccupied with the worries of the day, but being prepared to respond in praise to God. Love for us. And again, that takes intentionality there, because it's really easy to not be that way. Number five, what is worship? Got to have the right music, the right setting, the right whatever, right? That's how you get worship, is it? Worship is a state of the heart, an act of showing respect and adoration for God. Again, that's also what was mentioned there, worship, giving God what he wants. That's any form of that is worship in reality. Number six, so what's wrong with the philosophy that we're all God's children? Not biblical. So what's some biblical backing for that then? He didn't call the Pharisees children of the devil. He says no one is automatically a child of God. Because why is that? In Romans 3:23. We're born sinners in need of a Savior. Number seven, what's the connection between thanksgiving and service to God?
an expression of thanks.
Service comes from a heart of thanksgiving. We want to serve God
because we're thankful for who he is and what he's done for us. It's a connection with it there. Why does, number eight, why does Ecclesiastes 12:1 instruct, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth? Again, specifically for how it was brought out in the lesson.
What has to do with that fourth word?
Because it's impossible to be thankful when you don't know where you came from. Again, it's really interesting to think about it, that really it's an understanding of that is the basis for truly being thankful. Because again, if there is no God, you're really kind of being thankful for you. And kind of, again, you can be thankful for things and for other people, but it's got to eventually be what you did with it and stuff. But when it comes down to that point of remembering that he's your creator, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. On that. And the verse that kind of concludes everything, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that concludes the lesson with everything here tonight. Any other thoughts from anybody? Okay. We can come back to you. Oh, go ahead.
A little quick thought, and I have, like I said, the Lord has been working in my heart in it, and expectations and what we deserve. You know, I was born, God put me in the family, I was born in for a purpose, and appreciating it and being grateful to my parents. Even though, you know, I know several people who come from parents, they had godly parents, and they had raised, you know, in godly homes and in church, but you know, you have these expectations of what you deserve, and God put me in my home for a reason. And I love my parents dearly, but I don't have any rights. You know, there's expectations and there's rights. And it says, well, we tend to treat God that way. We have expectations and we have rights. So, you know, we tend to treat our earthly parents that same way. Just somehow giving out all these expectations and all my rights to God, and know that these are created in the same way that other things in God's in this world do their best. I'm kind of working with some of that.
Any other thoughts?
This is kind of a funny thought. But in the sacrifice of peace offerings, the list of fine flour fry.
Have you ever been to Long John Silver's and there's a little crunchy?
Fast food in the Old Testament.
Can't be that bad. Can't be that bad for us, right? Any other thoughts from anybody? But I guess this, again, what this is kind of trying to point us to is just, again, we all know, we'd say rotely, you know, obviously we should be thankful and we give thanks and stuff every year. We think of our things on Thanksgiving, but it kind of comes down to an intentional choice of consciously remembering who God is, really, of being intentional about that. Because you know that really takes what it takes is intentionality to do that. And probably the more we do it, the easier and more habitual it will get in that regard. But as we go into this week, with this Thanksgiving week again, it's really easy to just take things as they come, you know, just look forward to the day off and this and that. But there's really so much to be thankful to God for because of who He is. He's our Creator and our Redeemer. But let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the lesson tonight. Thank You for the truths in it again. Speaking of, with Your word, of just as we give thanks, it reflects our heart for You. It respects Your ways. And then it's a response to Your love for us. That, again, if our hearts are where they need to be, thanksgiving and gratitude should flow naturally from them. And when we're not, it doesn't come very easily. But that's because we need an adjustment. Our hearts need an adjustment. My heart needs an adjustment when that happens, Lord. Because really, we're just too wrapped up with ourselves at that point. As painful as that may be to say and admit. But as we go into this week, with, again, Thursday being Thanksgiving Day of 2024, may this year, Thanksgiving, be the most thankful one yet, really, that we've had in our lives. And again, it's really easy to say that on Sunday night, but when we wake up tomorrow, we'll remember it. And we have to go through the week to get there, Lord. And I pray for me, for my life, I need Your help to keep things in remembrance, because it is really so easy to forget and to get so distracted with life and everything else going on. But I pray that this would be the most Thanksgiving-filled Thanksgiving that we've had, Lord. It'd be a starting point, again, for this season that we're in, of course, in our lives, in our culture that's very busy and everything going on, but that we would take time to experience Your grace in our lives this year. In Jesus' name, amen.